Welcome to episode 77 of Bite-Sized Blessings. In this episode, I get to interview Rachana Potney. Her Twitter handle, @RachanaSays, describes her as an emotional well-being expert, post-colonial explorer of human relations, creator of the pack of ME cards. She writes about identities and emotions. She's also writing a book that's in process. Much of what we talk about in this episode will probably be foreign to a lot of ears. We talk about somatic work, somatic therapy, and I didn't know much about it just a short time ago, but it's the idea that thoughts, traumas, emotions can get caught in our bodies. I didn't actually believe in this kind of thing until one day I had a memory that was painful and made me really sad, and I realized suddenly that I felt it in my abdominal area, that the memory felt connected to that area. And so it changed my idea of the possibilities of somatic therapy. Everyone in this world experiences trauma of some sort, even people who seem to have charmed lives. And of course, talk therapy helps. But I would urge all my listeners to also investigate somatic therapy. Look it up. Or think of a memory, think of something that makes you happy, think of something that makes you sad, and see if you can locate where it is in your body. It's very deep work. It's very painful work. But indeed, as we discuss in the podcast, after doing the work, you'll feel lighter, like a burden's been lifted. Use this information or not. It's not going to hurt my feelings. It's just one of the myriad ways we talk about in this podcast to shift perceptions, release negative emotions, change our lives so that we can make this world better for other people. So do it or not. My feelings will not be hurt. And that's enough of that. So now, episode 77 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
My whole journey into disconnection, which prioritized intellectual capacities above all else, started from having lost my father when I was quite young, like I was only 7. So the deeper assumptions were, God doesn't love me because why would God do this to me if he loved me? I must not be worth it. I must not be worthy to have had these experiences. The more I have worked on the dense emotions within myself, and that's really the work I've been doing for maybe 12 years. I could say I've been holding the flag for that. So the more I've worked through the densities, I've been able to reach the higher frequencies or feelings of purity and goodness quite consciously. I'm not there all the time. The kind of experience of these things has opened my whole life to a symbolic realm, which I did not have access to before. It was almost as if I had to break down the, you know, intellectual person that I had spent my whole life becoming. And it's in the unmaking of that, that I started receiving, you know, many synchronicities, making decisions not based on fact, but on intuition, and then recognizing how well suited those decisions were. So the magic and the miracle happens in these mundane aspects, maybe like taking a different turn and finding something I had never expected, and then realizing that I've been led there. To tell you in a very kind of crude metaphor, you know, maybe like 5-7 years ago, I'd have been like, you know, why should the Lord be my shepherd? Do I not have my own brain and capacity? And now I'm like, I'm so glad the Lord is my shepherd and I can just chill out as a sheep, you know. And the trust that is needed to be a sheep, I mean, it's such an act of bravery and courage to have that full surrender. I'm on this path, I feel. Which is about being able to recognize the limitations of the intellectual mind and open up to the symbolic and the eternal, which is where all this magic and miracle and mystery is.
When you're talking about the densities in the body, you know, my mind went to what I've been engaging in for the last couple of years, which is somatic release. For me, you're saying these densities in the body, and I'd heard about somatic therapy for quite a while. And I thought, I don't know if that's true. And then I had a breakthrough moment in a talk therapy session. I thought, I'm going to check this out. And basically what I've come to discover is that I have a lot of emotions, memories, traumas hidden in different parts of my body, you know, whether it's my stomach or the back of my shoulder or other places, my throat. And it's through working with the practitioners that I've been working with to release those that I've become what I call lighter. You know, those densities are being released. Was that what you're referring to when you talk about working with those densities?
I am referring to working with what is stored in the body. The soma, which is like a counterpart of the psyche, essentially you're working on letting go of even the pre-verbal cues that we have stored within ourselves, which prime us to respond to life's challenges in particular ways. So my work also involved working a lot with other people on enabling them to let go of their dense reactions so that they can actually be responsive rather than reactive. Especially for leadership, that becomes a really important thing. You know, the meanings we make alongside whatever our body is holding and the weaving of those things together and being able to hold that is really important.
I can't remember where I read this, but I read somewhere someone said a single cell is the smallest unit of human consciousness. And what I thought when I read that, I thought, oh my gosh, that makes sense for as far as somatic work is concerned, because that means that our experiences, how we see the world and absorb it and integrate it, it all gets tucked away inside our bodies. We don't even know it's there. Before you know it, I firmly believe that our bodies can become unwell because we're storing so much trauma. We're storing so many stories and trials and sadnesses that don't serve us. And, you know, doing that somatic work is no fun. It's really hard work. It sucks, frankly, a lot. But it's also a beautiful process because you're unmaking, and I see it as taking a load, a weight off my poor cells, my poor body that's been struggling to hold on to this for so long. Another point, I really love your use of the word unmaking. It's really beautiful. Unmaking of that, using that intellectual, you know, kind of way of being in the world. And I just think of children, and they're so intuitive and instinctive. And we get these amazing little creatures who are so hopefully enthralled with the world and in love with it. And then we start imposing this kind of really rigid and intellectual and logical way of being in the world. And after a time, children kind of lose the ability, not everyone, but they lose the ability to interact and have access to that instinctual and kind of magical place of being in the imagination and connecting to the spiritual realm or connecting to a realm that you don't just experience every day as an adult. So I really appreciate your use of the word unmaking. It's really beautiful. And it's very gentle too. It's way more gentle than other words I've heard used. So thank you. I would love it. Please tell me about this book that you're writing. I'm so interested in it. And how did you, what was the genesis? How did this come about? What was the process? I'd love to hear just how this came about.
Oh, it's been such a tiring journey because my book was supposed to be about my PhD thesis. Like, of course, I have the content for that and the name for it, which was going to be Emotional Fools and Dangerous Robots.
You need to have a t-shirt that says that. You need a t-shirt.
So maybe I will write that at some point. But then I got, you know, called into doing something else. You know, my desire is to situate the modern human being as part of the cosmos. And that's what I want to write about.
You referenced kind of diving into, you know, ancient, mystical, mysterious kind of I don't know if it's texts or thoughts or beliefs or religious ways of being, but what's one of the most intriguing for you that you've discovered that really resonated with you?
So I found, some of the hermetic ideas very universal. It just is easier for me to use those words than to go into Jainism and pick something up from there, but I feel they would really resonate. So this whole idea of as above, so below is something that it really means a lot to me. There are so many lessons to draw from it in daily living. Like that, there are certain other things like, you know, the universal kind of feminine or the goddess energies and what do they mean? Some of the things about transmuting our energies rather than denying ourselves what we feel, or so the alchemical tradition.
Well, and I've always found alchemy, and I love that word. It's so beautiful, but just the idea of changing lead into gold. And I always, you know, growing up, read about alchemy all the time. And I thought, oh, you know, turning lead into gold, amazing. It's out there. But really, it's a metaphor for purifying the spirit, purifying our own selves, which takes talk therapy, takes somatic therapy, might take a little acupuncture, might take a little EMDR, might take, you know, it's different for every single human being, but we really are all called to change that, those leaden feelings, those leaden weights, those densities that you were talking about. We're all called to transmute those so that we can be more effective actors in the society, lift other people up, lift ourselves up first, of course, but then be a force of good in the world. And I just love that you bring up the idea of transmutation, because we're all called to do that. You know, a lot of people go to church every week and they call it done. I went to church, I listened to the sermon, I'm done. Like, I did my connection with spirit and source. But no, you're supposed to take all that energy on that Sunday and then kind of try to integrate it so that it changes you from within. So you can release old traumas, release old hurts, release old resentments. And it's again, you know, not a fun process. It takes a lot of work. There's probably going to be a lot of crying. Nobody likes to cry. But I am so grateful to you for bringing that into the conversation, because I really, you know, think that your book, for those who read it, which hopefully will be the whole world, is going to be a call to those people to wake up, to see the potential and the possibility, and to becoming something greater than they could ever imagine. I mean, it sounds like that's what your book's going to do for people.
I feel you've, you know, got the pulse of it. This can be such a lonely journey. And I want that book to be like a companion, you know, for people who found the darkness and found themselves in it. I remember like this really amazing quote from Harry Potter, which is, you know, something about like when you really reach the dark places, like you must remember you can always turn on the light. And that light is in us. I want that book to be like the companion that helps light the candles that we are, you know, the flames that we are.
For listening to episode 77 of Bite-Sized Blessings. I need to thank my guest, Rachana, for being so open and so willing to tell her story, and really the story of her healing as well, and how she's changing her interior, connecting her mind and her body, and in doing so, helping to lighten the load of what she's been carrying her entire life. If you want additional information about somatic therapy, on the website, I have a link to an article from Psychology Today that will give you a little more information about what's involved with this therapy. Meanwhile, I do have to thank the creators of the music used: Alex Productions, Frank Schroeder, Chilled Music, Dave DeVille, Alexander Nakarada, Mikhail Hellman, Tim Kulig, and Music L Files. That's a lot of artists this week, but without them, each episode would be very, very boring. So I'm so grateful to these creators for putting their music out there for other creators to use. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Rachana. Take the time to sit with your emotions, with those traumas, with those sadnesses, with those memories of joy, of connection, of community. Sit with them. See if there's a corresponding place in your body that they reside, and then use the alchemy of transmutation to change that connection, to make it healthier, to release it. I've always wanted to say that, use alchemy, and now I get to. So very grateful to my guest for allowing me to put that in there. So be like Rachana, use alchemy to change your interior, to connect your mind and body, and then, in your healthier and healed state, go out and change the world.